Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is meet and right so to do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yesterday afternoon, as everybody was getting ready for Thanksgiving, some little Indians came down from the first grade classroom towards Father Chicada's office, and I think they were looking for provisions, for chocolate in particular, and they were given a visit to Father Chicada's celebrated chocolate box. Those were the little girls, they were the Indians, and then a few minutes later came the boys, and they were not pilgrims, but Father called them cowboys, and they too got a nice visit to the chocolate box. What happened to the pilgrims? Well, last year, you may recall, on Thanksgiving, we dropped their feet someplace along that thoroughfare to that false freedom with their stern and passioned distress. As you see in the new verses that I composed last year for that beautiful hymn we'll sing at the end of Mass, America. This great day, this spiritual and national feast of thanksgiving, a gratitude to the good God, makes us to remember to thank God for the bounty we have always enjoyed in this beautiful land, rich, fruitful. No one needs to suffer want, not if there is a true spirit of industry joined with that of charity and love of the poor. And we remember, too, how we have always, as Catholics in this land, had true freedom, the freedom which came after the pilgrims who persecuted the Catholics had faded away. I mean, the freedom to practice our one true faith unhindered, the holy liberty of the children of God, the great virtue of the soul, which made St. Gertrude so beloved to our Lord, can be freely practiced in this great land. So we ought to be thankful, thankful and proud today as Catholics and as Americans. You know, there have been some writing and publicity the last few years about when the first Thanksgiving feast actually took place, and it was not with the pilgrims, and it was not at Plymouth Rock in 1621. It took place in St. Augustine, Florida, on the birthday of Our Lady, the Nativity of Mary. It was September the 8th, 1565, at St. Augustine, Florida. The Native Americans, the Indians, along with the Spanish settlers, offered the holy sacrifice of the Mass in thanksgiving to God through Our Lady, patroness of our land, and then together they enjoyed a feast. There was a second similar Thanksgiving celebration on American soil on the 30th of April, 1598, when the great general Don Juan de Oñate, who would go on to found El Paso and then New Mexico, Albuquerque, and Santa Fe in particular, declared a day of thanks. And it was commemorated, first of all, by the offering of Holy Mass, and then, again, there was a modest feast. The Catholic origins of Thanksgiving, if you know the Thanksgiving myth or fable, you know about the Indian Squanto. He's, in the story, considered as the beloved hero of Thanksgiving. He was the Indian who mediated between the Puritans, or the Pilgrims, and the Indians. Squanto had been enslaved by the English, because that's generally what they did, but the Spanish Franciscan fathers freed him. He received baptism at their hands, and he became a Catholic. So it was a baptized Indian Catholic man who orchestrated what became known to everyone as the first Thanksgiving Day. We should know, and we should be proud of, our Catholic history in this beautiful land, which was founded first of all with the Mass, which was founded first of all with Mary, which was founded by generous, selfless missionary priests, and whose work was blessed by God by martyrdom. And all of this took place in the 1500s, the 16th century, whilst Europe was being torn apart, the old country, by that false Reformation, and the false principles of Protestantism made all of society totter. Nevertheless, in this land, all of these wonderful things were being done. The French missionaries, the Spanish missionaries, leave to us a priceless memory. There's a quote that I came across. The noblest footprint ever left on American sands, even though, because it's a footprint on sand, it seems to have disappeared. But we should know, and we should teach our children, and we should be proud of our wonderful Catholic history as Americans. The glory achieved on this soil is something which was never done in any other place, and it should make us to be full of thanks towards Almighty God. The first martyr in the peninsula of Florida was a Catholic priest, and that was way back in 1520. And his name was Father Luis de Barbastro. He'd been a missionary in the Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico, and then he went with the Franciscans and the explorers up into Florida. And at Tampa Bay, very near to where we have our seminary today, he fell and shed his blood for Christ. So he blessed Florida, and he blessed the whole of what would become the United States of America. And then from that day forward, there were the Jesuit fathers, think of the North American martyrs, there were the Dominicans, as well as the Franciscans, working untiringly, not only in upstate New York, what would become Canada, but also in Florida and Georgia. In some places, they have discovered the ruins of this early work. But for the most part, it is forgotten and not spoken of. In 1612, before the pilgrims ever arrived and started their Protestant settlement, the Franciscans had established a province and a mother house at St. Augustine, Florida. The more conservative chroniclers estimate that the number of Indians who were taken care of by the Franciscan fathers with money provided by the Spanish crown exceeded 26,000. All of these, so long ago, baptized and raised in our holy faith. And the bishop would come over from Cuba, came over several times from Santiago de Cuba, and give the sacrament of confirmation. And one time it is recorded that he confirmed 1,000 souls at the same time in one single visitation. Many of these missionaries were put to death. Sir Francis Drake, you remember hearing his name. He, like the true pirate that he was, hung many a Franciscan father, not only out of loyalty to his country, but out of hatred for the Catholic faith. Other missionary fathers died at the hands of the Indians, of course, and the faith and the work of charity that always goes with it. You have to have faith and charity both. That continued and it prospered throughout the early history of our land, even though today it does indeed seem to be forgotten. Our glorious history of faith and of charity as Catholic Americans should, I think, fill us with hope this Thanksgiving Day. So often it is true of us as Catholics what one poet, Mr. Seamus O'Shea, said about his own Irish people. They went forth to battle, but they always fell. What was true then is sometimes true now, as we try to make some sense and some order out of the world that is left to us, really the rubble after the horrible revolutions of the 1960s. But everything that is done in the name of Christ and of his church with Mary and the Mass is glorious. And it is all done for the greater honor and glory of Almighty God. And it, all of it calls for gratitude. Yes, including heavy crosses and stinging losses and bitter disputes and seeming defeat, which is the loss of one battle when the war has already been won by Christ our King. For the Catholic, you see, nothing is lost And for the Catholic, you see, nothing is set aside. I give thanks for this, but for these other things, well, they're just there, I suppose. No, the good and the bad alike, as the apostle instructed us in the epistle the other Sunday, is thanksworthy in Christ Jesus our Lord. For the Catholic, you see, thanksgiving is not just the fourth Thursday, the day for a great, wonderful family feast, and then for relaxing, and then for shopping and football and all the rest that comes after it. Nor is thanksgiving, as I say, just a time to remember some of the good spiritual or material and obvious blessings that each one of us has had in his life. For a Catholic, thanksgiving is the Mass. Remember, one of the ancient names of the Mass comes from the Greek word for thanksgiving, Eucharist, the Holy Eucharist, the sacrifice and the sacrament. As Father now goes to the altar and unveils the chalice and offers the paten, in anticipating the presence of our Lord upon the altar and the divine sacrifice after the consecration, let us accompany him in spirit. Let us offer up today our losses and our crosses, as well as our glories and our very best memories, because there are many, and they should never, ever be overlooked or forgotten. Let us bring them all to the altar and to the sacrifice of the Mass today, and every day, to be sanctified, and us along with them to be sacrificed, in union with the sacrament and the sacrifice of the Holy Eucharist, which is Calvary. And behold, our victor King, crucified, derided, nailed to the wood, suffocating slowly to death, and abandoned even by his apostles. And yet, this is Christ, our glorious King, of whom we are not ashamed, and who brings all of this victory by means of seeming defeat to the altar, wherever the true holy sacrifice of the Mass is offered up. For all of this, but especially for our faith and our Mass, let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.